Today is December 10th, 2010. My name is Stephanie Youngers, and we're here at the Museum of Seminole County History doing an interview with Mrs. Carolyn Beislein. How are you, Mrs. Beislein?
I'm fine, thank you.
And if you'd like to start with where and when you were born.
It asked my name. I have your little paper here, and I'm seeing it. It says your name, and I usually mention to some people when it's important and it's necessary. For the record, my first name is Mary, but I've never gone by that name. And my middle name is Carolyn, and that is how I've always been recognized. My birthday is 3 days before Christmas, and so there were carolers outside when I was born, and that's why my mother decided on Carolyn.
Very nice.
And that was in 1928, in the Dark Ages. I was born in Memphis, Tennessee. My dad had little desire for farm life, and they were living in the Carolinas. But he was good at mechanics, and so he took a chance to move from South Carolina before I was born, to Memphis with an offer for a job where he got on a newspaper. However, the job didn't last all that long, and so we moved back to the farm when I was about four, I think, and my little brother came along. That was in Clemson, which is formerly called Central. I don't think they call it that anymore, but that was the little town on the side of the road. And then we moved to Miami when he was about a year old, which I think is 1936. I'm not sure of my brother's age precisely. So I essentially grew up in Miami, which was just starting to boom. We thought it was a big city. We went there, but it wasn't as big then as it came to be as I grew up. In our little neighborhood or our community, we were happy and knew all our neighbors, no worries about crime. I went to Santa Clara Elementary, Robert Lely Junior High, and rode my bike. And we loved going to the beach and the skating rink, etc. But in starting high school, I decided to attend Miami Senior High, which was not the nearest school to our home. This meant I had to ride the bus downtown, and then take another bus across town. And the bus stop was several blocks from my home. So I had to go early every day to make it there, but I loved the school. I was in the chorus and several clubs and very active in Miami Senior High School. Now they have several Miami high schools. Among others, I don't know if you've ever been to Miami, but you have.
Yes.
Well, there's more than one. This is the northeast section of Miami, where I went, and I lived in the northwest.
Goodness.
But the Andrew Jackson was the nearest to me, and I didn't want to go there. As it turns out, my brother ended up going to Edison, which is not too far away, and we were bitter rivals. So when we played football, we were both on each side. He was in the band. I visited when I was in high school a military school in Atlanta because I was dating a young student there, a young man that I had gotten acquainted with at church. And I really enjoyed going there because I got to see a real military type formation. They did all the things they did first,
right,
and then the dress parade and then the graduation and the dance afterwards. And of course there were stipulations how I had to dress. I had to wear a picture hat, which was the big straw hat, you know, it's called a picture hat at that time, with flowers on the crown, and the long gown. And I was remembering that I was, having been born, or not born, but raised in Miami, that I was inclined not to wear hosiery, unless I was wearing,
it's because it's too warm.
Well, I had them, but I hadn't put them on, because I thought with a long dress, I wouldn't need them. And so his sister came in to see and check on me when I was getting dressed, because this is very formal. And she said, "You're not wearing your stockings." And I said, "Do I need them?" She said, "Absolutely, yes." So I really learned that this was military life, and that was the way they were. They were very formal. But I did enjoy it, and I was dated him for several years. And
this was when you were in high school?
Yes. But Everything really began to develop land-wise and population-wise in Miami. Then World War II started. So there were a lot of servicemen in our church in downtown Miami. So I dated mostly servicemen. And so it went to where I had been dating steadily with this boyfriend. I went to dating others. Miami became a mammoth city, too big, too much traffic. Mm-hmm. And there was an influx of Cubans and later Haitians. And Miami Beach, having been made up mostly of Jewish folks from New York, and et cetera, was taken over, you might say, almost by servicemen, Navy, Army, Air Force. And south of Miami, Homestead also became service occupied. Did you say you had been in Miami or did
yes.
know some about
mm-hmm.
it?
I've been to Biscayne Bay. I've
you
been
have?
To Coconut Grove.
Okay.
Been to various places down
My
there.
My brother lives in Coral Gables.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He's an attorney and now in process of semi-retirement, and liaison, you might say, or mediator in the circuit courts and so on, just something to do. He's really not handling, but he used to have no handle civil cases mm-hmm. and had to learn Spanish while he was along the way. Mm-hmm. He drove downtown from the Gables every day, and then when he got to Flagler, he would drive up into the parking garage and park, and then go upstairs and cross Flagler to his office in the federal building. Mm-hmm. And when he was through with his day of work, he'd come back across three or four stories up over Flagler, the walkway, and then get in the car in the garage and drive back to Coral Gables.
Right.
Because he avoided downtown mm-hmm. anymore. But when we were little, we went downtown to church. We did our shopping downtown and everything. We weren't, mm-hmm. Cautious or worried about it. But in 1946, I graduated, and then I went to Florida Southern College in Lakeland, Florida. And it's a lovely, quiet, small town, which I liked. And I met Fred and dated him for a year. We married in 1949 after he graduated. We lived off campus for a year since I had one more year of college. Mm-hmm. And I graduated in 1950 in the spring, already expecting. And in September of 1950, our first child was born in Lakeland. In December of 1950, we moved to Longwood because Fred had a chance to get on with Minute Maid Corporation.
Okay.
And he was into citrus, and he was one of the first ones to go into citrus school there on campus. And so we've lived there ever since, here. In other words, where we live now, mm-hmm. for 59 years in
wow.
the same house ever since. We actually stayed in a little guest cottage for a while before we could build mm-hmm. on their property, the Bice Lines. I started teaching in the old Lyman School, which has, of course, since been torn down. And that's just the school that Fred attended all 12 years. He played football there. He grew up in that school because that was first through 12th at that time. Mm-hmm. And I taught second grade. And during my high school year, I had worked as a clerk in a Tinsett store, as we used to call it, Woolworths, downtown Miami, mm-hmm. as a file clerk at a furniture store, my uncle's. And I also worked one summer in the office at the church, downtown Miami. And I also did a lot of babysitting. But when I went to college, I decided to be a teacher. I had always thought I wanted to do that, so I received a degree in elementary education and early childhood. Mm-hmm. Then that was a very, very hard year, my first year of teaching, and it was a very extremely hard time for me, but I'm glad I stayed with it mm-hmm. because I became a teacher and have been for all these years.
And you stayed at Lyman for the whole time?
I know. I taught one year at Lyman, mm-hmm. and I had a downstairs basement room, really, mm-hmm. with the stairs to climb to Gilman to go, and I had a young boy who was paralyzed from the waist down, and I had to get him up under his armpits and lift him mm-hmm. and drag him up those stairs to get him
oh, wow.
to the top level, and then put him in a little chair with casters on it because he was paralyzed, and take him to the bathroom down the hall. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I would always not quite make it in time, and then all the high school boys would be in there between classes, and they'd say, Mrs. Beislein, get out of the boys' bathroom. And I'd say, I'm sorry, but I'm here because I have to get this little guy in and out. And I tried to go between classes, but I couldn't always make it. So,
right.
But I remember how Chucky was so dearly loved by all of our other students because they could take him in the wagon and pull it. We had an outside door to the playground, and he would bring his cowboy hat and guns and pretend he was a cowboy, and they would pull him around and take turns. Just loved to be able to be the one to take Chucky for a ride, and we really adored him.
Where did you go after Lyman?
After I left Lyman, I'll get into that a little bit later, I went to stay at home for a while, and I had another child, a little girl, and at that time, it was really, I thought, in my best interest not to put my children in a school or a place where, well, anyway.
Child care.
Child care. I didn't think they were really well set up to, I didn't really like them an awful lot, so I stay home as much as I could with my children when they were born until they were of age to go to preschool. Now, you asked, there's a question here about your family history, and I don't know how I got onto that because I wanted to try to go by your questions, and I don't see it there for number three, but the three number three page.
Oh, it's fine.
Oh, I'm trying to keep my head on by writing this all down because I'm not good at remembering things. Anyway, number 10 says my family history. And so I wrote down some things, which I've just told you and Kim about a few minutes ago before we started officially here. I'm trying to have it researched now, and a lady in our local historic society is doing genealogies. But when she did mine, she traced names and birth dates only back to the 1700s, which was interesting. But I'm curious about the occupations they had and the birthplaces, some of which she did find. So I'm going to have to find someone who will delve further back, maybe, and find out what the people did, their jobs. The one on the next question on your list is, do you know stories about how your family first came? Seminole County. Well, that would be my husband a little bit. I'll tell a little bit about him. My husband, Fred, and his mother, Adeline Alvina Niemeyer, were born in Longwood. Also, my husband's brother, John, whom you've met, I'm sure, was born in Longwood. And he has studied the Beislein side of our family background with a lot of help from several cousins, Beisleins, in Pennsylvania, who really came up with a lot of information. Fred's father, Mr. John Aaron Beislein from Pennsylvania, came to Longwood in an answer to an ad from the founding fathers of Longwood to get a job. He started working with Mr. Niemeyer, who had a general store, and eventually married his daughter, Adeline. That was Fred's mother. Mr. Frederick Niemeyer had married a Miss Clouser, who was related to the master carpenter, Clouser, who was hired by Mr. Hink to build the hotel and most of the houses in Longwood, the chapel in Altamont, among others. We now own the Clouser Cottage and hope to keep it in the family in Longwood. Mr. Beislein, Fred's father, grew orange trees. They had quite a large acreage, and raised squabs, which were specialty birds for eating in hotels, etc. You ever heard of squabs?
I haven't ever heard of a squab.
Okay. It's a baby pigeon is what it really is.
Okay.
It's called that, a squab. I don't know where the word was, how it was derived. But they would take care of them. A ring in their necks, I guess it was, like we do chickens sometimes. And they would pack them in ice and ship them north each week by train from Winter Park. So my husband would get up early hours morning and then help his father because they had to pick them and ship them as soon as they did to keep them fresh. And they had to be a certain age, a certain size. If they got too big, they became very tough. And so people don't usually eat pigeon, but squabs are different. They're very tender if you get them at a young age. And it was that they also would have them in the hotels here. He started his business, but then he got started and ended up shipping them north. And so they would take them in a wagon, pack them in ice box crates, and then take them in the wagon to Winter Park and have them shipped out once a week.
Wow.
So another thing especially interesting about Mr. Beislein, J.A. Beislein Sr., mm-hmm. is that he started raising prize poultry as a hobby. And he became immersed in communicating with other men doing the same thing all over the world. And he won all sorts of awards, trophies, and prizes for his excellent expertise in raising silver-laced Wyandottes. And these are beautiful, big, very regal-looking birds, usually the roosters, the cocks, they call them, mm-hmm. with the large red cockade on their heads.
Right.
And stripes along the sides on the feathers, which looked lacy.
Mm-hmm.
They were like in little rows, like on their feathers. And I have pictures and a lot of trophies and some of his, you know, awards,
mm-hmm.
and from letters from different countries, men soliciting information from Mr. Beislein about how he raised this beautiful poultry because he won so many prizes and so many trophies and awards. And that's funny kind of a occupation to have, but it was a hobby, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had the orange trees and the squab farm. We had over 2,000 birds in that squab farm
wow.
at one time. And so that was quite a job for Mr. Beislein and for Fred. John didn't help very much there. John was always helping his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Mr. Beislein was also very community-oriented. And he was on the town council in Longwood for at least, I think, 20 years. I'm not sure. He was active in the church choir, an elder at the church, Sunday school teacher. He played trombone in a band. Now, I have a picture of him on the stage of a little in our building, a Civic League building, we call it, in Longwood.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on the Seminole County School Board for 19 years. Mrs. Beislein, or Addie, as she was called, went to Rollins, and she played piano. And I have a picture of her doing a concert. And she played piano and sang in the choir. And she was a charter member of the Women's Club and officer most every year, some sort of officer. And that was also, her mother was the same way, Frances Niemeyer.
Mm-hmm.
So it was accepted that when I married Fred and came there with him to live, that I become a member of the Women's Club mm-hmm. immediately and be active in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it mentions on your list my background and my parents.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a newspaper man, and he was probably inspired, I mean, possibly by his rich Uncle Vernon. We have a book on him. He was in the Midwest as an editor of a newspaper, but my dad's mother had died when my dad was born, as was his twin brother. He died also. And since he had another older brother and four sisters, his father sent him as a tiny infant to live with Aunt Fanny. Doesn't everybody have an always mm-hmm. have an Aunt Fanny? In Pelzer, South Carolina. And so he told me some stories about how she carried him around on a pillow because he was so tiny, and she nursed him to health and kept him there until he was almost nine. By the age of nine, he was on his own.
Wow.
I was told. Somehow, he worked on farms and moved about and received a minimum education. But then he met my mother, Hetty Catherine Hollis, in Central, or Clemson, South Carolina. And they married, and he went back to the farm business again. Mm-hmm. And they lived there on the farm. My mother went to Furman University and studied business. And when my brother was born, I was ecstatic because I hadn't been told before. So when the doctor drove up in his Model T, he saw me playing under the giant walnut tree, and he told me he brought me something in a little black bag, and I would get to see it later.
No. That's a good story.
I love my little brother. And I tried to help my mother to look after him. I remember when we built a house in Miami, after renting for a while, and there were beds of scorpions in the palmettos when my dad started to dig the foundation, a coral rock, we which is solid down mm-hmm. there. He, being from South Carolina, or actually he was born in Georgia, was not familiar with the conditions, and he was stung many times by the red ants and insects, scorpions and all, and finally decided that the rock was the foundation, as he couldn't remove it with the pickaxe. When we got the walls up and the roof on, we moved in with the spiders and the snakes as well. And one night my little brother stepped on a scorpion and it stung him, and being about a year old maybe, he didn't know what was happening and he just kept stepping up and down on that scorpion.
Oh my goodness.
These bugs or scorpions were very large, not tiny. Sometimes we see them around here in Central Florida, but they're very, very small. Mm-hmm. And very seldom do we see them. But these are large, large ones, maybe 2 to 3 inches long, and they had a lot of venom. His feet were swollen for weeks, and we kept putting ice on them and carrying him around for a long time, but he finally got well, survived. And so as we developed a neighborhood there, we were fortunate, ultimately, in having a very nice home. We improved on our home a great deal, and my dad built additions on and built it. It became a nice building, and we had great childhoods, my brother and I. There were some times when we did have a slight problem because my father's brother divorced and brought his 4 children to live with us at one time. And that was pretty hard. His youngest daughter was 3 months older than I, and she and I got along pretty well most of the time. Mm-hmm. But we were more like sisters, I think, in that we would fight occasionally. But we love each other now to death. We have a lot of memories, and nice memories. And he finally moved out and took one of the children with him. But anyway, we basically grew up together there for several years in that home. And then I went to summer camp at Florida Southern, and that's when I decided I wanted to go to college. So I'm backtracking a little bit here because I mentioned it earlier.
That's okay.
And I entered as a freshman and joined a sorority right away, Alpha Delta Pi. And I enjoyed campus life and dated a lot. But because my uncle divorced and went to Miami with 3 children to live with my parents, I decided to work part-time in the college library to help with my tuition, and I learned a lot with that.
Oh, okay.
Learned a lot about library books and, you know, how to catalog them. And
right.
I had a little old lady who was probably 90. She was very, very strict, and she would make me look at those numbers until I was blue in the face and so tired of trying to type them and keep the numbers straight. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't a good typist. And I would just almost cry and get so tired of it. Finally, I got to be on the floor and handle books and see people because I like people. Mm-hmm. Okay, next question. How has it changed over the years? Well, I don't know where that goes. I have number 6 there. I'll just go on with what I have here, my notes here. One day while standing in line at the campus cafeteria, I was chatting with friends, one of whom was talking to her boyfriend. She was the campus queen. She was the homecoming queen.
Oh.
And she introduced us, Laura. And he, in turn, introduced us to his roommate, and that was Fred.
Oh.
He and the roommate lived off campus, working part-time in a science lab located on the grounds there while attending school on the GI Bill. They both were from Longwood. Charlie Stum was his roommate, and they're famously known in Longwood for Stum's Corner, where they used to live.
Mm-hmm.
She was not a very nice woman, his mother. Charlie's now in Polk County and on the staff at the university, or campus there, or the college there. So I had never heard of Longwood, and we chatted a while, and then when my friend and I left, I felt somebody or something pulling me on my ribbon sash from behind, and I guess it was tied in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And he, anyway, was trying to catch up with us, so he pulled on that, and I realized I looked around and caught him trying to catch up and looked at him kind of funny, and he thought that was funny. So anyway, we laughed, and we stopped to talk, and then he asked me out. Our first date was to attend a play in town called Everyman, and dinner later at the town cafeteria.
Oh.
That was a big deal in Lakeland. That's all they had then. I try to get to the family here. Your question is, does your family have any special heirlooms or keepsakes?
Mm-hmm.
When Fred's mother passed away, I was given permission, along with John's wife, to share some of her jewelry, that is his mother's, mm-hmm. and porcelain figurines and dishes, photo albums, which I really treasure, and silverware and others. So I was very glad to share, and I still have most of that. That was some time ago when she died. Now, number 19 question is, what kinds of local gathering and events were there?
In Longwood.
We were active in Central Florida Society for Historic Preservation. We're charter members, mm-hmm. and Fred was the very first treasurer, and then a trustee, and I was a docent, as well as a courting secretary, and had several different committees. We were active in our church also. He was superintendent of Sunday schools, and I was a Sunday school teacher. Eventually, we both were ordained as elders. We were active in scouts. Fred had been a scout as a boy. Mm-hmm. I was a Cub Scout mother and leader of the Cub Pack, also leader of the Brownie Scouts and Cadets, which are, I think, now called Intermediates. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they're called anyway. Fred was a member of the Indian Guides. He was one of the dads, and he was a timekeeper at swim meets. Our second son got a scholarship from swimming. He followed through. He was very good at swimming. Mm-hmm. So we were both workers with the Booster Club at Lyman High School, where Fred went. And I was, for a short time, a helper with A.D. Pye at UCF, which at that time was called FTU, mm-hmm. Florida Technological University. I was always active in educators' associations. President 1 year of Seminole County for Children Under Six. Now, that's not quite right. I'm sure it's Seminole County Association for Children Under Six, which ultimately became part of the 4C program now in existence. And I helped start that. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed that.
When did you all start the Central Florida Society for Historic Preservation?
In 73, I think it was.
Okay.
And the reason for that being that we wanted to move this house, mm-hmm. that was up for grabs for the fire department to use for
the Bradley McIntyre house,
their practices. And so in 70, is either 73, 75? No, I think it was 73 that we moved the house. I'm not really sure. It was right in there anyway, 73, 74, and 75, that we moved the Bradley Mack house, mm-hmm. from Altamont Springs to Longwood. And we also got the inside outside house while we were at it.
Oh, okay.
We had to all chip in, of course, a lot of our own money, and mm-hmm. the move was quite large. Mm-hmm. Can't remember his name, the man who did it, but it was quite an effort because, of course, the Bradley Mack being three stories, Queen Anne. Mm-hmm. It was in terrible, terrible shape, but. I didn't think to bring any pictures to show you today, but I do have pictures of how it looked before we moved it.
I think I've seen some pictures of it, and it wasn't
and
very bad
there was
bad
a man
shape.
Who lived in there for a while, Bill Orr. Mm-hmm. He's an artist. And I have pictures there where he had his, I don't know if it's a kerosene stove or not, but he had it with something pot sitting on it. With anyway, there was some pictures on the wall of the Beatles and somebody or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you don't really recognize it or realize that's the Bradley Mack house by the way it looks now. Mm-hmm. You don't realize it until you find a few doorways and windows and things that you recognize and it comes to you that that's the way it looked when it was going down.
Right.
And then after the move, we had to have power lines moved or removed or taken down, and a lot of trees had to be cut back and a lot of hours spent on the road trying to move it. And there was just a small group of us, mm-hmm. but we got it done. Of course, we were in the red for a lot of years afterwards, but we finally got ourselves in black. Fred was a member of the board of the Farm Bureau for over 40 years because he's into citrus, mm-hmm. and he was with Minute Maid, and they later became connected to Coca-Cola, part of Coca-Cola, and he has had been more recently traveling a lot and helping out Coca-Cola to look for properties suitable for orange trees. And we went to China twice.
Oh, my.
We went to Africa a couple of times. And I got to go with him to some countries because Coca-Cola was interested not only in the cocoa part of it, mm-hmm. but they were also at that time selling coffee. And so I went to Jamaica with him a time or two, and Mexico several times. And so I got to travel too, some between raising children.
Now, was Minute Maid?
But he was also Minute Maid Corporation.
Was it located in Longwood?
Oh, it was actually in Orlando.
Okay.
There was a place called Fair Villa, which is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an office there for a while, and then they moved to Plymouth. Well, I guess they really were Plymouth first. I think that's backwards. I think they were at Plymouth. And they had a packing plant over there and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a little drive, but it was only 20 minutes then.
Right.
Now it takes at least
so
half an hour
really
more.
So it was really a commute.
Yeah. And he was over there. He didn't talk. He worked over there for a lot of years, and then they moved to Faravilla, and then opened more plants and opened more, not necessarily more packing houses, but more plants to... The concentrate was coming in then. That was real important then. And he helped to start that. Had to help get the vats in and all that they required for that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was instrumental in the beginning of orange juice as we see it now, and concentrate, and then since then, fresh orange juice. It was almost impossible at that time to find. Then he became kind of a troubleshooter and consultant. Then I was president of the Woman's Club for a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and instrumental in setting up the Old Timers Reunion once a year. This was a get-together of all old timers in Longwood, which we all loved.
Mm-hmm.
And that was discontinued when the Woman's Club disbanded. It was no feather in my cap that we had to give up, but we had dwindling numbers, membership,
mm-hmm.
and most of the ladies were not able to drive or could not get out without help, and we're getting up in years, and we were just to the point where we couldn't seem to get younger people in. They were busy working,
mm-hmm.
and so we finally disbanded, and we gave the building to the historic group in Longwood, Central Florida Society for Historic Preservation, with the provision that the building would eventually become a museum.
And is that the Bradford
House?
It hasn't
happened yet. No.
No?
It's the Civic League building.
Oh, okay.
And it was the former Woman's Club building, and we gave it away.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of regret that, sort of. But if we had tried to sell it, we didn't know how we would divide the money or what we would do.
Right.
Where we'd go. And there were so few members left that we didn't think that seemed fair. So I suggested we give it to the Historic Society, which we did, but it was with the provision that it become a museum. Now we're putting some things in there. We have a museum committee,
mm-hmm.
Which I am a member, and John is the president, my brother-in-law, and we're trying to get a museum set up and started. We've got some bulletin boards up and things, but they're renting the building out now, the society, because they did a whole lot of renovations.
Mm-hmm.
It was in pretty bad shape. So they spent a lot of money on it. So now they're trying to make up that money that they spent by having people come in for weddings and such as that. Bar mitzvah, other things they do, and raise money anyway. So right now we're not having much luck on getting, we don't want to really put anything in there of any value,
mm-hmm.
Museum-wise anyway. So we're collecting a few things, but we're basically just trying to do the bookwork that goes with it and
right.
collect some information on people who helped start Longwood. And
mm-hmm.
we're putting together a little book. We're calling it Footprints. And we're trying to get some information together and some, you might say, the basics.
Right.
Just right now. And hopefully we'll someday have a museum in Longwood. I don't know if it'll happen before I'm gone, but... But we're trying. And Fred and I have also been active in the Seminole County Historic Society charter members there also, and I've been recording secretary at one time as well as chairman of the student tours. Mm-hmm. Now that goes with the society, the local group, the tours. CFSHP, which is Central Florida Society for Historic Preservation, and I initiated tours, student tours, by visiting approximately 55 schools in the county, one by one, and introducing the history of the Longwood area to them, and setting up field trips by bus through a grant. Mm-hmm. We had to work hard to get the grant. And we've had as many as 4 days a week sometimes touring students through the town or the Bradley McIntyre House Museum. It was I who introduced John and Mary, Fred's brother and his wife, to the local group after he retired from New York, and they moved back to Florida, and they became very active. I was raising four kids and teaching school, so I became less active for a while, mm-hmm. and I'm again more involved now since I retired from teaching. It's getting too long. Mm-hmm. I'm proud to say that, now number 21, you mm-hmm. asked how historical events affected your family, community. Mm-hmm. Proud to say that we in Longwood were included in the Bicentennial Parade. The governors came through Florida in 1976 and have some snapshots of a similar celebration. And I'm not sure if it was 1880, but Ulysses Grant came to visit mm-hmm. just for a day in Longwood. His name is on the book at the hotel. Mm-hmm. We're also proud of the Clouser heritage, hence the Niemeyers and then the Bice lines, and pioneering the oldest city in Seminole County. The Clouser House has been acknowledged with a small plaque, and we had a little celebration at the City Hall with then Mayor Paul Lovestrand and other town dignitaries. And our now grown children, our four children, have greater respect than when they were young and appreciate the history of Longwood now. We put out a book, so we have some recognition. You have our book on, mm-hmm. and that's our family on the front cover, the Bice lines, the Niemeyers. Number 23 is, is there anything you'd like to discuss? I was just going to say I had always wanted to have my own private kindergarten. So my husband agreed after some rentals we had were vacated, and he was tired of being a landlord anyway. So with some renovations to three small homes, we opened a school. We connected them all together, three little houses in a row. Mm-hmm. And we called it Oak Tree School, because we have what is probably the largest tree in live oak, anyway, in Seminole County.
Oh.
It's supposed to be between 400 and 500 years old, according to Forrester, who came out in 88. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to have that checked out now because it's been so long. I think it may have grown a little. Mm-hmm. And there was an article in the newspaper in the Orlando Sentinel fairly recently about a large live oak in Lake County. And according to the writer, there's nobody in Seminole County who pushed through like they did there. The town council worked on getting this tree recognized with some kind of a,
heritage. To protect it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to do that, and I called the writer, Sentinel writer, and asked him, and he talked with me and suggested names, one of which is a lady who works for the Forestry Service, and she'll come out and check and measure for me, which this other one did mm-hmm. in 88 when I had this go. But I had gotten the children out there and talked about the tree, and then they helped him measure. Oh. And they enjoyed that, and we had a little, they gave me a plaque. Mm-hmm. Then at that time, that was Mayor Hardy. And so I want to bring this back to attention in our little town of Longwood. And because it's in our backyard, it's not something you just invite the whole town to. Mm-hmm. But I do want them to know that they can come and see it and be ready to mention it to anybody who's interested mm-hmm. in trees. And so I'm going to look forward to her coming. She's coming after Christmas sometime to measure. And she said, by the way, it sounds with my measurements that I gave her, it sounds like it is one of the largest oak trees in the state,
wow.
at least in the county anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope to have that recognized soon. And Anyway, since I had been teaching in Seminole County for about 8 or 10 years in public school at that time, I was just enchanted with all the paperwork. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed supervising, joining of these little houses into one building, and the making up the playground, etc. And I had that school for 11 years. We call it the Oak Tree Preschool. Mm-hmm. Actually, it came to be a kindergarten. That's really my love. That was my early childhood degree. But I had it for 11 years, but I gave it up after that because even though I loved it very much, nobody wanted to pay tuition. They right. wanted to bring the children, but they didn't want to pay. So mm-hmm. it's just like they thought it should be free, and I just let it go too long. And I'm a dedicated teacher, but I'm not a business person. So I really let it go, and there were a lot of disappointed parents. But we put a lot of money into it. We finally had to give up on that. So now I was just wondering when you ask if there's anything else I would like to discuss. And I realized I must not forget to mention our children. Mm-hmm. Of which I'm very proud. Walter Beislein Jr. was born September 30th, 1950, in Lakeland. And he's now an attorney with several large law firms, but he's been semi-retired. And he was in New York City, where he got his law degree and went with White and Case. And then he moved to Dallas and opened a branch there, and then later he went to Houston and opened a branch there. And now they live in Richmond, Indiana, and that's because he found it on the computer. They have a photography studio there, like, that he could go to because that's his hobby. And so he's on the faculty teaching photography, and he judges shows, and they just came back from Turkey, brought me this back from Turkey.
Oh, very nice.
Did you know that tulips were started, grown originally in Turkey?
I did not know that.
All of us all think of Amsterdam as the mm-hmm. base for tulips.
Very pretty.
And so they brought me, he and his wife bought that for me, a pendant with the tulip on it. And they've traveled not only just to Turkey, they took a group of students there, and they stayed in England this time, mm-hmm. 3 months.
Oh, wow.
But they were only in Turkey for to a couple of weeks, mm-hmm. but they do take students, a group like say 25 students.
Wow.
Sponsored them and closed. Well, they get sponsors, but they get help. And but they, this time they got a flat to stay in England, London. Mm-hmm. That was last summer. And you know, he's traveled a lot. He's been to China, he's been around quite a lot to different places, travels a lot. Mm-hmm. She is also a lawyer. And then Frances, our daughter, was born June 23rd at 53 in Sanford, and she has become an environmentalist and a magazine writer, and lately she's been teaching school. She met Paul, her husband, Paul Stephan, at church summer trip, and went to Florida State University, lived in a co-op dorm, and then they married after graduation and moved to Naples. They lived there about 20 years. He's a Clearwater guy, and he loves the water. Mm-hmm. So they did a lot of surfing, fishing, boating, you name it. And now they have moved to California.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm very sorry that they've done. But
that's far away.
He's looking for a new job, so he went out there. Mm-hmm. Our next one was John Leland, named after my husband's brother and my brother. And he's a doctor of psychology, and he's now working with an insurance company. His wife is very, very sickly, so he has to stay home. He works out of his home, has his office there. And he wrote a book. He met Kathy at Richmond University, at which time she was very, very into sports and very strong, but she's become ill with arthritis really bad now. And they're married in Virginia, living there now. And so he's really looking after Kathy himself. He's her caregiver.
And when was he born?
He was born in 1955 in Sanford. And at that time, I have a picture of that old house mm-hmm. that was the hospital in Sanford where they were born, he and Francie. And
right.
Of course, it's terrible, bad shape. Mm-hmm. And when he was born, I was apparently had just come out of a sleep afterwards. And They were going to bring him in, and they said they'd bring the babies in a few minutes. And all of a sudden, this rumble, 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 rumble sound. And I said, what in the world happened? My bed's shaking. And she said, oh, that's just the elevator.
Oh, my goodness.
And it turned out my bed was near the elevator shaft. And when anybody went up or down on the elevator, it made my bed shake.
I bet you couldn't wait to get home.
That's exactly right. And then they brought him in, and he was 9 pounds and a half ounce. And said, you have a football player. I said, that's not mine. Because Walter was only 7 pounds and 4 3/4 ounces. But he said, yes, this is yours. So he's a handsome young man and a big guy. He played football at Lyman. And as I say, they're living there now. And now he's in Richmond, Virginia, mm-hmm. and Walter's in Richmond, Indiana.
Right.
Strange consequence. Jane, our baby, was born in 65, December 4th, 1965. And she went to Florida Southern College, where we went. And she was homecoming queen in high school. She's a fitness instructor at the YMCA now. She also does personal fitness in the home. She married Keith Reardon, and they have 3 children. 2 are twin boys, Keegan and Camden. They're now 6. And Chloe is age 9. They all start with K's.
Mm-hmm.
All of my 4 children attended Lyman High School, just as their dad had. And I have 5 grandchildren altogether. I lost Fred about a year ago, but I stay busy and I have an active life. I meant to mention my granddaughters, Katie and Addie, now in their 20s. They don't have any children.
Oh, okay.
And one other little addition. I forgot to explain my teaching job, sort of. I didn't really go into that too much. But I did mention the old Lyman when I had the
basement classroom.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was 1st through 12th grades, and then they changed that and started building new schools. So I went home and waited. I was inclined. I kept taking leaves to have family.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught 1 year at the old Lake Mary Elementary, mm-hmm. which is also now gone. It was about 1957, I think it was. And then I taught at Altamont Elementary for a lot of years. I figured around 1966, but I don't remember it for sure, about until I opened my private school in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
And had that for 11 years, and then I decided to retire. I don't think I taught after that. I may have gone back to public school. I don't remember. But anyway, I now serve on the Seminole County Historic Commission and the board of the Seminole County Historic Society, which I enjoy. And I'm interested in history, even though I hated it when I was in high school.
No.
That's it.
Is that all you have?
That's all I have.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mrs. Beislein.
Thank you for being patient with me.
Absolutely.
I was writing things and realizing how long I was writing and how much I was writing.
Oh,
and I thought,
it's
this
fine.
Is terrible. So long.